From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns will continue a series on the lives and ministries of the Apostles of Christ. We hope you will find the messages to be encouraging and helpful as you see how God can use ordinary people in the work of His kingdom. Before we hear from Dr. Cairns, we invite you to enjoy a brief devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning and Evening, followed by some Christ-honoring sacred music.
Our text for this morning is in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. To Him be glory, both now and forever. Heaven will be full of the ceaseless praises of Jesus. Eternity, thine unnumbered years shall speed their everlasting course, but forever and forever, to Him be glory. Is He not a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek? To Him be glory. Is He not King forever? King of kings and Lord of lords, the everlasting Father? To Him be glory forever. Never shall His praises cease. That which was bought with blood deserves to last while immortality endures. The glory of the cross must never be eclipsed. The luster of the grave and of the resurrection must never be dimmed. O Jesus, Thou shalt be praised forever. Long as immortal spirits live, long as the Father's throne endures, forever, forever unto Thee shall be glory. Believer, you are anticipating the time when you shall join the saints above in ascribing all glory to Jesus. But are you glorifying Him now? The Apostle's words are, To Him be glory both now and forever. Will you not this day make it your prayer? Lord, help me to glorify Thee. I am poor. Help me to glorify Thee by contentment. I am sick. Help me to give Thee honor by patience. I have talents. Help me to extol Thee by spending them for Thee. I have time, Lord. Help me to redeem it that I may serve Thee. I have a heart to feel, Lord. Let not that heart feel no love but Thine, and glow with no flame but affection for Thee. I have a head to think, Lord. Help me to think of Thee and for Thee. Thou hast put me in this world for something, Lord. Show me what that is, and help me to work out my life purpose. I cannot do much, but as the widow put in her two mites, which were all her living, so, Lord, I cast my time and eternity too into Thy treasury. I am all Thine. Take me and enable me to glorify Thee now, in all that I say, in all that I do, and with all that I have.
You have longed for sweet peace and for faith to increase, and have earnestly, fervently prayed. But you cannot have rest or be perfectly blessed until all on the altar is laid. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid?
Do His sweet will do.
In 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 14, the Lord said, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." If ever there was a time when believers in the Lord Jesus Christ needed to pray, surely it is now. The moral condition of our land and the apparent powerlessness of our churches cry out for God's people to seek the Lord earnestly for revival. To encourage true Christians in this urgent need to pray, Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer, free of charge, copies of a powerful message by Jonathan Edwards, one of the greatest Christian leaders and thinkers this country has ever produced. The title is typical of Edwards' time: A Humble Attempt to Promote Explicit Agreement and Visible Union of God's People in Extraordinary Prayer for the Revival of Religion and Advancement of Christ's Kingdom on Earth. Don't let the title put you off. This is a message for this hour. In a 20-page booklet form, Edwards' sermon calls upon believers to unite in earnest prayer for God to come in reviving power upon His church. The great revivals of history have always come as the result of fervent prayer, sometimes on the part of just a few Christians who were burdened to seek God for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in revival power. That power is still available for those who will seriously seek it. To obtain your free copy of this message, simply write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615, and ask for Edwards on Prayer. The address again is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Ask for the message, Edwards on Prayer, and we'll be happy to send you a free copy. Today on Let the Bible Speak, Dr. Cairns continues a series of studies of the lives of the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the course of these messages, he will present a biographical sketch of each apostle, examining each man's background, his character, and the particular way in which the Lord used him to fill the role which God had for him. Part of the purpose of these studies is to show that God has a work for each of his people to do, employing the gifts the Lord has given. Not surprisingly, Dr. Cairns begins these portraits of the apostles with the man who was regarded as their chief spokesman, Simon Peter. Because of Peter's prominence in the early church, Dr. Cairns will devote two messages to him. In this first message, the focus will be on Peter's character. We'll see first of all that he was a patient and consistent man. Now, to introduce this message called The Character of Peter, here is Dr. Cairns.
We're turning back tonight to the Gospel of Matthew. We're turning to chapter 10. We're reading the first four verses, as we did last Sabbath evening. And then the text itself will be made up of just a few words in verse 2. But the first four verses of Matthew chapter 10. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these. The first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the publican, James the son of Alphaeus and Lebaeus, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, which also betrayed him. Verse 2 will give us the text for this evening. Last Sabbath evening, I spoke generally upon the 12 apostles. We're going to look at the first of them individually this evening, or at least the first part of looking at the first of them. Peter's such a big character that we're not going to try to deal with all the Bible says on this character in one night. In verse 2, the names of the 12 apostles are these. And here's the text. The first, Simon, who is called Peter. In some ways, it was inevitable that Simon Peter should have been recognized as the first among the apostles. In actual fact, he was the first man whom the Lord Jesus Christ actually called to leave all and to follow him. But even more than that, I think that Simon Peter was by constitution a leader among men. Peter had that temperament that made him vigorous and active, strong and daring, and yet at the same time made him humble and approachable and supremely a lovable person. Because Peter, as he's painted for us in the New Testament, was an intensely human person. Now, that's true of all the apostles, I realize. But above them all, Peter was no cardboard character. Peter, wherever you touch him in the New Testament, is a man of real flesh and blood. You know, there are some people, not only in biblical history, but in secular history as well, who seem to be of a different order. Now, they're not really, but they appear to be of a different order. They don't seem to feel the things that we feel. They don't seem to be able to react the way most of us react to situations. But Peter is not that kind of a person. He is real flesh and blood. And I think, among all the major characters of the New Testament, Peter is the one above all others who best mirrors ourselves. He shows all our weakness on the one hand, And on the other hand, he shows the power of grace and what God by grace can do in our lives. Now, Peter was, of course, a Galilean fisherman. That has led people, especially preachers, to talk the most arrant nonsense about him. Actually, that was no mean occupation. You don't have to read too deeply in the New Testament to come to the realization that it had made Peter at least a considerably rich man. It provided him with possibly two homes, but certainly one that must have been of a very great size. Not only that, but from Matthew 19:37, we can assume that Peter, when he came to Christ, left behind him a very considerable fortune. His income was not to be laughed at. His was quite a good, well-paying position. Another idea that we have to get in our minds about Peter was that, like all Jewish boys, he was well-educated. Now, I know that the Jews said he was, with John, an unlearned and an ignorant man. But the notions that people have drawn from that he was some sort of an illiterate, actually are as far from the truth as you can get. The words unlearned and ignorant simply mean that he was not a professional academic. He was not a man of the universities. But all Jewish boys were well educated. They learned to read the way Protestant children learned to read until certain educationalists, whose head was as empty as their heart, decided otherwise. They learned to read by learning to read the Bible. Now, you just asked Dr. Barrett the difficulties he has teaching people who have bachelor's degrees and master's degrees to read Hebrew. These kids learned to read. They learned a lot of other things beside. But one thing I like about Peter was that as a Galilean fisherman, he spoke the language was, I suppose you'd call it technically a cognate of the Hebrew language, but it was Aramaic. And what I liked about Peter was when he got to Jerusalem, he talked his country dialect. We were talking a bit about this in the house today and in the last week or two. There's a road in Belfast called the Malone Road. Now, that's where all the big people live, or at least anybody there thinks he's a big person. We call them would-bes if they could bees. And when a person makes it in business and moves up onto the Malone Road, or as we like to mock it, the Mal 1 Road, they start to talk differently. We were talking about how we would describe it today. And my wife remembered an old Belfast saying that they're talking very well dressed. Just think of that. And it's an Irish way of saying it, but it certainly gets to the point. You know, Peter wasn't a bit like that. There was nothing uppity in Peter. He was there among the academics of Jerusalem. He was there among all these people who knew how to talk right. And what did they say? They said, "Your speech betrays you." I like a man that can hang on to his accent. Peter held on to his brogue. It would appear that Peter, with Andrew, his brother, and with James and John, his partners in business, it would appear that Simon Peter early became a follower of John the Baptist. And of course, through Andrew, he then came to hear of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Peter was a very ardent soul. And you can better imagine than describe the state of Peter's heart when, through the ministry of John the Baptist, he realized that the coming of the Messiah was near. And when finally he met with Jesus of Nazareth, he knew instantly that his waiting time was over, and here was the Christ. From that moment until the day of his death, with the exception of that little period of wavering, when he denied the Lord and very quickly and bitterly repented, from that moment to the day of his death, Simon Peter lived only to spread abroad the glorious good news that neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And that confidence of Peter's was well founded. You see, he was one of Christ's inner three. He saw and he heard Christ under the most intimate circumstances. He was there on the Mount of Transfiguration when God gave him a glimpse of the great glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was then with Christ at the opposite end of the spectrum of his experience in the Garden of Gethsemane when the blood oozed through the pores of his skin like sweat. And all the powers of hell were arrayed against him in one mighty blast of anger to keep him back from the cross. He was with the Lord Jesus Christ, seeing him and hearing him. And despite his denials on that fateful night in Jerusalem, he went to watch Christ's crucifixion. He tells us in his epistle he was an eyewitness of the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as he watched, like all the others, he was brokenhearted, for it appeared that all his dreams of Christ the Messiah were dashed. But then he ran to the tomb and found it empty. And he was the first of the apostles to whom Christ in his resurrection body made himself known. And as Simon Peter realized that now is Christ risen from the dead, his soul was settled on its course for life. Filled with the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost, he became a flaming evangelist. He became particularly the apostle of the circumcision of the Jews, though God gave him the peculiar privilege of opening the door of grace to the Gentiles as well. Peter's preaching was marvelously blessed. 3,000 souls on the day of Pentecost. Others saved every day. Then 5,000 won for Christ in the mighty flaming fire of a sweeping revival. There was Simon Peter, the Galilean fisherman who had been saved by grace. Now a mighty preacher of the gospel, fearless, no more denying, no more equivocating. Peter now striding like a colossus through the earth, preaching Christ and him crucified. He lived long enough to see the Holy Spirit establish the Church of Christ in the world, that it would take deep root and would not be overthrown. Now that's an overview of Peter. Tonight I want us to think particularly upon the character of this man. First thing that I'll say about Peter is maybe a little surprising. Peter was a patient and a consistent man. That's not too often you're going to hear a preacher say that about Peter. Actually, the way, I must just clear the decks here. Anytime, and I will be, as the Lord leads, for some Sabbath evenings to come, I'll be doing biographical messages. Anytime you come to hear me preach on the great characters of Scripture, I have to be faithful to the Bible and point out their failings. But I want to tell you, I have no time whatsoever for these pygmy-brained preachers who put themselves up on a pedestal and they look down on these insignificant little wretches in Scripture. You know, they can talk about these men as if they were nothing, as if they had accomplished nothing. I'm very dilatory at criticizing these giants unless the Holy Ghost has done it very clearly here, because it's like a flea trying to bark at an elephant. We're dealing here with giants.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.